Well, Father God, I thank you for your word, Lord. Just like when you were speaking to us this morning at pre-service prayer, Lord, I pray that no matter what season we find ourselves in, Lord, we would always abide in your presence. And it would be of the foremost importance to us that we would wear your presence on us permanently, that we would always be looking to where you are. And I pray that the same from your word this morning, Lord, we would be looking for you and your word. We would not let it pass us over, as Pastor Sean just said, Lord, that we would not be harsh on ourselves, but we would not think this doesn't apply to us. Help us to examine ourselves, to look in the mirror, to allow you to speak to us. And I pray that we would be fruitful Christians with it, that we would take it and we would do good work with it and allow you to change us and make us better with it. And to you be all the glory, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Justin. I appreciate that. Today's episode is called Check Yourself. I thought for sure that Dr. Heidi was going to change that to your. I didn't expect that to make it through there. Kirsten, I see you. I thank you. When she goes, what's the name of this? I go, check yourself. She goes, don't put that. I could feel her say, don't write that down. You did say it? Oh, I know. I thought you were going to. I thought you were going to be like, snip, that is not going to happen. Check yourself. Check yourself. Sometimes you got to check yourself. You know, you got to check yourself. I have a few, just a tiny bit, like 400 of them, points coming up of things that we have learned in this series. You don't need to recap because you guys know everything. You remember everything. I walk into a room and go, why am I here? Why am I here? Well, this morning, I want us to remember why we've been here over this course of the series. These are not all of them, but here they are. God alone is God. God has his ways. God can and will do as he pleases. That's a hard one to swallow on the hard road, isn't it? Doesn't want to do what pleases us, but we got to do what pleases him. He's like that. All things work together for good through those who love and serve him. Right? He doesn't serve us. We serve him. Jesus alone is the only way. All good fathers have unpopular rules. We are church now. Don't be distracted from seeing the obvious. God is a know-it-all. God will do, can do as he pleases. Your praise of him is required. Your praise of him is required. Say prayer matters. Prayer matters. You don't have to fear God's judgment if you truly are his kid. Check that your past doesn't creep up. Check that your past. You got to check yourself sometimes. You got to drive intentionally forward. And this big one, there is no more condemnation for those who are in Christ and Christ in them. Man, all things to remember, hard things, good things, necessary, important things. You can see the book of Romans has many good points, right? Humanity is measured only by God's ways and glorious standards. Pleasing God is our top priority. In Christ alone, we are made righteous. I don't want to read that back, but I do want us to remember those things. They're all super important. This is the Hard Road series. We are 14 episodes deep into it. Say, check yourself. Romans 14:1, right to the word. Accept other believers who are weak in faith and don't argue with them. You know, I got to stop right there. I was with my friend. I was in the parking lot. Man, I was getting out. He was getting out. He's got kids. You know, he's been to the church a couple of times. And this dude came whipping in the parking lot in his Mercedes. This other dude. And I just spent time with Jesus. Thank the Lord. Seriously, because, you know, I got up. And I wanted to say, and I told Jake, I want to say, yo, man, there's kids. But Jesus would have me say nothing in that moment. And it was hard for me to stuff that old, this unrighteous thing just happened that could have hurt. And I had to shut my mouth. Sometimes the hardest thing to do is shut your mouth. For me, honestly, I get more trouble the more my mouth is open. I speak for a living. So what does that say? It's tough, you know. And so sometimes I was glad I checked myself this morning. You know, I didn't need to get into that. He doesn't know. What kind of impression is that? You know, so I thought about it. Accept other believers who are weak in the faith and don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. Hopefully they and us are letting God transform us. Where last week, Let it be transformed by the truth of your mind. Let him transform your thoughts. Hopefully, they and us are letting ourselves be transformed. Let me read that in the Amplified, because I know you love the Amplified the most. Romans 14:1 in the Amplified says, "As for the one who is faith is weak, accept him into your fellowship, but not for the purpose of quarreling over his opinions." Not for the purpose of quarreling over their opinions and how they could be made better. Opinions are like belly buttons. We all have them. Not many of them should be seen. You know, I've not even seen my own belly button in like 40 years. Just saying. It's not good looking, you know. Say this, the church should stop the nonsense. Say, I am the church. Romans 14:2. For instance, por ejemplo, for example. For instance, one person believes it's all right to eat anything, but another believer with a sensitive conscience will eat only vegetables. Those who feel free to eat anything must not look down on those who don't. This applies to anything that's not considered sin by God. But we have opinions about stuff and other things that not make us comfortable. God said, that, okay, judging on people and hitting on this. You shouldn't be doing this and you shouldn't be doing that. Is that a sin? No, but let me deal with that with God. And also check yourself. Did God send you to check me? He didn't send you here to check me. He sent you here to check yourself. For those who feel free to eat anything must not look down on those who don't. Apply this to anything that's not considered sin by God. Those who feel free to eat anything must not look down on those who don't. And those who don't eat any certain foods must not condemn those who do, for God's accepted them. Again, this concept applies to anything that's not considered sin. I have some quotes. I have the French poet Molière. He says this, "One ought to examine himself for a very long time before thinking of condemning others. One ought to examine himself for a very long time before thinking of condemning others." Say check, yo, self. Next one is Chris Coletta, Coco Coletta. He got baptized here, my buddy from New York. He said this, when I said, "Oh, dude, I got so frustrated. Forgive me for just being mad about that situation." He said, "Posey, how can I judge you when I know myself? How can I judge you when I really know myself?" Say, check, yo, self. And the last one, Jesus. "Do not judge and criticize and condemn others unfairly with an attitude of self-righteousness, superiority, as though assuming the office of a judge, so that you will not be judged unfairly. Judge not, lest you be judged," King James, right? So there we have some amazing quotes about where this series and this sermon is today. Romans 14:4. Who are you? Yes, I resisted playing the musical clip from The Who. I wanted to, but I realized I should not. But I wanted, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? It's a serious question. And it's the kind of questions that's actually intended to humble you. It's not asking you to, like, who are you? Well, I'm Sean Capozzi, the fifth generation. No. Who are you? There's a sassiness to it. There's a sharpness to it. Almost like someone stepped to you and told you how to raise your kids or do something with your kids, and they don't know you, and they're from the park, you know, and they come over, you know, you should have not told little Jimmy you couldn't climb all the way to the top of that. You're like, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? I'd break into song. Save his life. Don't tell me. Who are you? Who are you to condemn someone else's servants? Their own master will judge whether they stand or fall. And with the Lord's help, they will stand and receive his approval. We had episode 13 talked about honoring authority, about God's standard of morality. And chapter 14 jumps right into some really deep stuff. It says, pretty much, here's the summarization of this chapter where we're going, watch your little judgy self. 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 Watch yourself. Okay? make sure you honor what he's approved. Make sure you honor what he has approved and watch your judgy self. The hard road. Romans 14, 5 through 6. In the same way, some think one day is more holy than another, while others think every day is alike. You should each be fully convinced. The best way to fully convince yourself is seek God's word and let him settle it for you. Fully convinced that whichever day you choose is acceptable. Those who worship the Lord on a special day do it to honor him. Those who eat any kind of food do so to honor the Lord. So since they give thanks before God eating, and those who refuse to eat certain foods also want to please the Lord and give them thanks. They're both trying to serve God. And I've had people say, well, they don't have church on Sunday. So? They may have a Wednesday night, makes it less of church service. You can't have church on a Sunday. But there are people like, it's got to be on Sunday. Bro, find that. We gave us a day of rest. Yeah, so are you doing that kind of work you've been doing on Sunday? I mean, we can get into that, but I won't judge you because you're weak in the faith, apparently. See, we get that way, don't we? We let those things, like stupid things, religious stupid things, we hold tight to as like, this is God, isn't it? Could be an idol, could be a judgy thing in our life. Yeah, I'm just quoting my brother, you know. We should do the hard things that he asks you to do. And also, we should get better attitude about it. We should do the hard things he asks us to do, particularly. And we should get a better attitude about it. Some people never notice their attitude. You know that? Some people never notice their attitude. And sometimes, you got to have someone check you. You know? And it's good because communication is what percent, Dr. Heidi, body language and tone? 7% words, the rest is body language and tone. Man, tone gets our counseling practice busy. It keeps it busy. Why? Because everybody got a tone. There's a tone. And God's saying, you know, could you just do the hard thing I ask you to do? It sound like you're talking to your kids. Can you just clean your room? Like I asked you to do. Mommy just needs a minute. I just put the bath water on the Calgon soap in and I need a minute. Can you just clean your room? And can you do it without going throwing stuff around? Can you just do it? And then God just said that to me. I was going to slap a picture of puppies up to make us feel better, but Dr. Heidi said we don't need anything cute and humorous. Sometimes we need to feel it. Oh, puppy lovers just were sad for a second, Dr. Heidi. Romans 14:7. For we, the church, we disciples, we the kids of God, for we don't live for ourselves. Is that true? Wait a minute. No, check yourself. Don't just go, yeah. Check yourself. Don't pass by that. That's a connecting verse. That's just, you know, he's not really. For we don't live for ourselves. Check yourself in that. Like, who am I living for, Lord? I'm living for my family. I'm living for the church. I'm living for, yeah. But am I first and you living for me? Because if you're not living for me first, the rest of that's going to be a janky quick. We don't live for ourselves or die for ourselves. The heart of baptism, right? We don't live for ourselves or die for ourselves. We are all in. The church belongs to him. Say, I am the church. The church belongs to him. And at times it's hard. With hard truths, right? With hard lessons. But the more stubborn I've been in my life, the harder the lesson was. There are some scars I should have just been a gentle shift to the side. But I wouldn't do it, and I took a mace to the forehead, you know? Boom. Do that. Boom. Keep making those same decisions. Yeah, okay. I'll do it your way, Lord, because I'm tired of getting dents in my head. Anybody? The dented head, hand, ribbon, thank you. Yeah, some of us are thick-skulled. It took a while. Some of us, like parents, are praying for us to find Jesus. There are old people praying. There's people praying for you. And when you told them, I found Jesus, I bet you someone said to you, about time. Man, I've been praying for you. Come on. Romans 14, 8 through 9. For if we live, it's to honor the Lord. And if we die, it's to honor the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Christ died and rose again for this very purpose, the purpose to be Lord of both the living and the dead. So I want you to just take a second before we go into the shifting or the finalizing of this episode. I want you to take a real second and find something that you've been so grateful for Jesus. Beyond salvation, I want you to remember some of them. I'm thankful for the parking lot. Me and my brother succeeded in not chastising somebody. I'm thankful that I'm here this morning. Some of your faces, just seeing you, I'm thankful. Jesus has done so many things, and don't let the storm and the war beat you down to not see the obvious. It's important, right? It's important. Be grateful. I am so grateful. Romans 14:10. So why do you condemn another believer? Well, I say they're believers, so what, someone who's especially maybe been proven as a believer, why act like that to those guys who've been proven especially to believers? Why are you judging any non-sinful thing in anyone else's life? Say, por qué? Por qué? Why? Why do you look down on another believer? Remember, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. We will all stand. There's no escaping that moment for each life. Whether you believe, I didn't believe in him, you're still going to stand before him. Okay. He's God of all the universe, and he's probably tried to reach you 1,000 times, and just because you weren't going to surrender to his ways doesn't mean you're not going to stand before him in the judgment seat. That's what our job is, the church, to fight as many of those folks and go, come on. Let me show you Jesus really is what he really done. You don't want that moment. If you're a believer, you don't have to fear that moment, but it's still coming, right? Say, Holy Spirit, please help Pastor. Holy Spirit, please help me too. Romans 14:11-12. For the scriptures say, what God says is really all that matters. When you're like, you're in debate with somebody, and then what's the scripture say? Well, that's what it is then. The scriptures say, as surely as I live, says the Lord. He's doubling down on himself. Surely as I live, and apparently I do, every knee will bend to me, and every tongue will declare allegiance to God. And yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. Not based on anyone else's life, not based on whether he asked Donna to give up for him, not based on what Emily does with her free time, not based on what, it will only be based on your life with God and what you've surrendered and what he asked for. And if you measure yourself against somebody else, you're going to be in trouble. Because either you're going to look down on them or down on you. There's no looking good in those situations. We're all going to stand there. We're all, if you're prone to play games with God or his leaders or his people, I want you to say this to yourself. Stop it. If you're prone to judge others and also be weak yourself, say stop it. Stop it. Romans 14:13. So let's stop condemning each other. What? Revolutionary. Let's stop condemning each other. I wanted to play One Love by Marley right there. I just wanted to hit it. One love. Let's get together and feel all right. You know, come on, I felt it there. Here's a good plan. Stop condemning and maybe start stopping your own sinning. Stop condemning anyone else for any other thing and start working on yourself. Let's stop condemning each other. Decide instead. Look at your neighbors and make the choice. Make the choice. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble or fall. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall. God may have given you a liberty that will stumble somebody else. Don't take that liberty in front of them. Well, that's my liberty. Well, if you hurt your brother, stop it. And if you can't stop it and your brother's there, then you probably got a problem. All righty. Go on to the slide. All right, Emily, I hear you. Let's go. Put the slide up. Live what you say you believe. Live it and don't stumble another. Live it and don't condemn another. Do serious work on yourself. Say, I'm the church. I'll check myself. You know, if you need work on you, work on you. If you need work on promoting unity, ask God to help. The first step in unity, you ready? Here's your first step. I want you to look around right now and pick a person, pick someone you don't usually pray for. You should have them by now. Pick someone you don't usually pray for and pray for them this week. Man, pray for someone you don't usually pray for in here, and you watch unity begin to shift and change. It's hard when you're praying sincerely for someone else, not manipulative prayers, but you're praying for their soul and the prosperity of their soul and for their lives in a way that you love and care, that you want to be prayed for, and someone's doing that for you, there you'll see change. Prayer matters. Prayer matters. Romans 14, 14. I know and am convinced on the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am convinced on the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, that no food in and of itself is wrong to eat. But if someone believes it is wrong, for that person, it's wrong. The word doesn't, this, you got to, I'm going to put this in context. I tried to get it in the best, he's talking to the Romans, right? And they've got like the Greek city around, they've got all the gods. And he's talking to Hebrew Christians maybe too. And let's go there, because Hebrew Christians aren't allowed in the original law to eat pork, right? And say you're a Hebrew Christian and you're like, hey, there's a hunk of ham sandwich. You want to stop over there? Because I've been working all day. A hunk of ham sounds good, you know? And the brother goes, oh my gosh, you can have a hunk of ham? I can have a hunk of ham. I prayed over it. I thank Jesus for it. It's fine. I'll do some cardio later. Burn off those calories. I'm good. No. Ham is wrong. Well, if your brother feels that way, don't get a hunk of ham sandwich. But if your brother's not there, hunker down on that hunk of ham. It's okay. And if another believer is distressed by what you eat, you're not acting in love if you eat it. Don't let your eating ruin someone else whom Christ died for. If you've truly been given a freedom, then you can enjoy it privately. You will not be criticized for doing something you believe is good. You know, I took very little lessons from my grandfather. I didn't know him very well on my mom's side. And he was I don't know the statute of limitations. He was an enforcer for Italians in upstate New York. And they were on a run a lot as a kid. And so I just learned to keep my head down when I was wrong, and everybody seemed to love him. But I'll never forget. And I know he stole this quote, and you're going to look it up on Google later, and you're going to text me like where it came from. And I don't want to say Tennessee Williams, but that's just out of the air. So don't judge another man's boots till you walk in them. Don't judge another man's. Well, I walked a similar walk, but you're not raising that family. You don't know what their temperament is. You don't know what came through you. Don't judge another man's boots at all. Period. Don't judge another man's boots. Romans 14, 17 through 19. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what you eat or drink, but of living a life of God, goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For if you serve Christ with this attitude, not with an attitude. I served Christ with an attitude, and then there's this attitude. You know, I've served like, all right, I'm going to prayer meeting. I'm burned out like crazy. I don't feel like it. I'm going to go, but we're having tacos. I'll go, but if it goes over an hour, I am out of there. Now, hopefully every prayer meeting is that not for you. That's a fictitious character I just made up. You know, that doesn't happen here. When we say, hey, there's a prayer and worship, you guys are like, yeah, let's get in 4 hours early and start. I'm like, yeah, you guys are awesome. I love that about you. It's a matter of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For if you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God, and others will approve of you too. So then, let us aim for harmony, not correction, not what you can do better, they can do better. Aim for harmony. Sometimes, you know, when you ever get into a verbal disagreement with somebody, a fight, most of us just want to win. We want our point to be spike point one. I won that one. Won it. But at what cost? What if we shot for harmony and we were mature enough to take it on the chin sometimes? Say, Lord, I'll burn for you. And then it's like this song we were doing last night for prayer, and Heidi and I were singing it, and we're praying for service, and it's, you know, it's I can't remember who does it, but I'll burn for you. My heart is a wick. And I couldn't think of it in the way that they were meaning it. All I could think is when Rome was lined with human Christian candles. Will you burn for him that way? Are you all in there? What's your attitude? I feel like sometimes I need that adjusted. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I need an adjustment. I love a good chiropractor. Awesome. You know, if you serve Christ with this attitude, you would do well and please God, and others will approve. So then let us aim for harmony in this church and try to build each other up. Aim for harmony and try to build each other up? I mean, I'll aim for unity and no stress and not stumbling, but also try to make someone else feel way better. Actually sowing something in their life that causes them to do better with the right attitude. I'm like, I'm sowing. I'm being nice to Shaunzi right now. He better be nice to me later when he's over at the coffee bar. I want that extra special creamer. The one he's got hidden back there, the snickerdoodle. I know, I seen it. Hi, Shaunzi. You look good today. Snickerdoodle. You know? Not that attitude. Legitimate harmony and building each other up and stop judging, condemning each other. Your personal squad goal at this church is to aim for harmony and try to build each other up. That's your squad goal this year. Aim for harmony here and try to build each other up. If you're from the 80s, you'll like this picture. I had to do one, Dr. Heidi. Yeah, Ebony and Ivory right there. McCartney and Stevie Wonder bringing it together. I actually do. I love that picture. Romans 14, 20 through 22. I can't see the time because there's bottles in front of it. So I don't even know how we're doing. So 14, 20 through 22 we go into. Don't tear apart the work of God over what you eat. Say doi. 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 Don't tear apart the work of God for what you eat. Remember, all foods are acceptable. But it is wrong to eat something if it makes another person stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else that might cause another believer to stumble. You may believe there's nothing wrong with that, what you're doing, but keep it between yourself and God. If it's a non-sin item, you don't need to say nothing to anybody else about their life. Work on yourself. It's hard enough to work on ourselves, if we're really honest. Like, I could lay a list of things I need to work on. I'm like a 70s car that never really went to the, you know, car doctor before. I'm getting by, you know. I need work. You got a freedom. Don't stumble someone else with it. Keep it between yourself and God. As long as it's not a sinful freedom. My people go, well, it's a freedom. I said, well, here it says it's adultery. It's not a freedom. That's a sin. There's a difference. A freedom is, go ahead, have a mar roll. I don't care. Go ahead. Wear fancy shoes. It costs $500 because you have big blank money. I can't believe you could have sold those shoes. Before, I can't believe that. Did you see the other day that Amber had a thimble of wine? Did she do it in front of an alcoholic? No, then good on you. Have a thimble. I'm just saying, see how we get all gunked up over those things? You can't even say them on the pulpit because people get tense. Stop judging your brother. We just read it. Stop judging me for saying it behind the pulpit because it's the word of God. Check yourself. Check yourself. I'm just saying it nicely back here. Blessed are those who don't feel guilty for doing something they've decided is right. Again, if it's not a sin, don't feel guilty. If it stumbles your brother, don't do it in front of them. The Lord's giving you a freedom. Shut up and take care of it. Romans 14, 22, Amplified. The faith which you have that gives you freedom of choice, have as your own conviction before God. Just keep it between yourself and God. He's hammering a point. Just keep it between yourself and God, seeking his will. Now, here's the tricky part, because sometimes, well, my heart says, be careful, because Jeremiah 17:9, not back there, don't stress. But it says, the heart's deceitfully wicked above all things. I just went with my heart. Uh-oh, bro, that's... How many times did you go to your heart in high school and you ended up in a mashed up blender? I just went, oh, my heart. Yeah, we all saw that was a mess for you, bro. But I gave my heart away 14 times. Why do I have all these scars? You gave your heart away 14 times. Your heart's deceitfully wicked above all things. But it sure can be convincing, right? You ever heart talk you into it like you found scripture that says here, the ants work hard. And if I take this job, I'll be like the ant. Yeah, but I told you you don't need to be working over the bar. Why? Because you're having a hard time with alcohol. But the ant works. I get that principle. Let's talk about not stumbling ourselves. Ever been misled by your feelings? Feelings, nothing more than feelings. Live by what is clearly outlined in His Word, and you'll be all right. Happy is he who has no reason to condemn himself for what he approves. Be ecstatic that God's given you those things. Like, whew, some of those things, be ecstatic you have those things. When you really know you're right with God, that's a super cool feeling. There's freedom in that. Happy is he who has no reason for condemning himself for what he approves. Romans 14, 23. This week's Children's Church workers are going to be very jealous because I got you out late. These guys are going to get out early. So I'm not playing favorites. I'm just telling you. But he who is uncertain about eating a particular thing is condemned if he eats it. Is condemned if he eats it. So you better know. Better check yourself. Is that really a liberty he gave you? Check. Because if not, you're not acting in faith. And whatever is not faith, whatever is not done in faith, whatever is done in doubt is sinful. So if you doubt and it's not clear, then remember these words. Say, don't do it. Yeah. So don't do it. You got some freedom from God? Awesome. You think other people should be doing a better job? Check yourself. Did they ask for your opinion? If they didn't, it's like your belly button. They don't need to see it. But who's going to show them? If God wants them to see a belly button, he'll point it out. He's good at that. He made them. But we get so caught up in like, oh my goodness, so-and-so during church was eating a Snicker bar in the back row. And why does that bother you? Do you want a Snicker bar? You think Snicker bars shouldn't be allowed in the sanctuary? Sugar's not. I don't know. But why are you even paying attention to them? You don't know the boots they walked in. You don't know the calling that God asked of them. The pressure that's on their life to perform before God. And the Lord says, instead of checking them, why don't you pray for them and encourage them and find some unity so they can find some strength to get up and pull the sled again. That's our job. Pick another brother up and put them on. Come on. You see Dave getting pounded by a mace in the dirt, just go, Dave's learning a lesson. Get over there, man. And don't go, how are you in the dirt, Dave? Well, the big giant, I've killed a giant like that before. Well, that's real encouraging, brother. Thank you for rubbing that in my face. You killed giants. No, man, that Christianity is garbage. It's not the word. It's not what's asked of the church to do. It's asked us through this whole thing to check ourselves. And sometimes the church gets this label about we like to check other people. So today's message, if you're a checker of other people, stop it. But do check on yourself. And don't treat yourself so harshly. But don't let yourself off so light. God's looking for a resurrected church during this season. I felt like, I don't know if you guys can stand with me. This is how I felt this week. If you've not watched the Hunger Games, this will not come true. I felt like I was in District 3 fighting for my life. And during worship, I put my hands up, and I did this, and I felt the Lord said, District 3. Ever feel that way? Like, you feel like you're fighting for your life, and the enemy's been pounding down on you? I think God's bringing a shift, and it's time. If he kills this giant for us, we don't want it landing on us. We just want the giant dead. Anybody got giants? Anybody got giants? And you're like, I got giants. I know what you're talking about, Pastor. I got giants. And you don't even know what they are, and I've been fighting them. None of my brothers and sisters behind me, next to me, know what they are. They don't know. And they might be even judging me because like, why I was fighting giants? You don't know their boots. I'm asking you to pray for the giant killers. Around this room, there are giant killers in this room that are facing giants. And if their giant goes down, that's one last thing in darkness we got to deal with. And we got a brother that's free. Look to encourage each other, not push him back down in the mud to make ourselves feel better. That's not the church. But we are the church. So whoever you put in your mind this week, lift the cross. Don't forget to pray for them. Because it's going to change their life and your life this week. You don't know the battle their boots are going to be in, right? So if you've had a boot battle, Go ahead and raise your hand. I'm down with you. Father, I know the hearts and hands that are here, that they want to be the most effective church for you. They want their lives to change. They want to feel that purpose and strength again, Lord. They don't want to let you down. Father, I pray that your spirit would come upon them. Lord, you'd minister to those that take it too hard. You minister to those that have been judged and wounded and beaten up by people that's supposed to love them with words, or people that's been to church, or people that said they were pastors, or people that had no other intention than to put them down and to hurt them and to cut them. Father, I pray that those wounds would be healed and whole, and they would not judge harshly themselves. But forward, Lord God, you would strengthen them, pick them up, blow your life and your spirit back into them, Father, and draw them out of the ditch, Lord. And those of us that maybe are prone to not check ourselves, but check others, Lord, put us on a humility path we choose, not one that we're forced into. Let us be encouragers of the body and of our brothers and sisters, and not argue with them anymore. We pray for harmony at New Season Christian Fellowship and harmony in the body of Christ. And if you are the church, say amen. Amen.